going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk about it, because last week, I think honestly, what it felt like it was maybe 30 minutes after we got off the phone with you, maybe an hour, because I think actually it might have just been right when the show, you had mentioned, watch out for Doug McDaniel, watch out for Doug McDaniel and the Tigers, and lo and behold, he commits. Did you think it would be that soon? Like, I know you were very confident in, hey, this is a name that I think is going to be connected to the Tigers, but did you think it would be within basically minutes of us talking?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly surprised that it hadn't happened before we got on the phone. Before we did the interview last week, it had been done for a while, honestly. Same with Aaron Bradshaw, you know, because Aaron had visited the week before and Doug visited, I think he was in Memphis on last Monday and Tuesday. And you know, it was all very pretty much wrapped up, by the time we did our hit last week. So I was a little bit surprised that it hadn't happened yet. So it did not surprise me when it happened, when it did.
Any reason why you think there was it a crossing of the, you know, crossing the T's, dotting of the I's? Is it just dramatic effect? Is it, you know, was there anything that you took away from the fact that you thought this was done and it took a little bit longer than it actually did?
No, not really. I think, you know, there are a whole wide variety of factors that go into it. And I think sometimes it's even just like, you know, we're dealing with, young Sketches. People. Yeah. Like, you know, we're also dealing with young people who they'll get to it when they get to it, or, you know, it could be any number of things. It could be that, you know, there's, they want to have, like, they've heard that so-and-so is going to announce on this day and they want to have a day to themselves. So they kind of like look on the calendar, and if they haven't heard of anybody else committing that day, then maybe they schedule theirs for that day. But, yeah. So like there's
like an open calendar, like on Google Docs of, all right, here's your day, here's mine.
I know. I do. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but there's something.
It certainly feels like it at times.
I like to envision it that way. Now, I mean, there are exceptions. Like sometimes you'll get, you know, a handful of players announcing their news all kind of in a very short span. But I think there are those who I like to think there are those who kind of keep in mind the fact, like, you know, well, this day seems a little bit quieter than the others, so let's go with that.
All right, let's talk about what type of player do you think they're getting in Doug McDaniel?
I think what Memphis is getting is a very – so he's got 3 years of power conference experience. He played 2 seasons at Michigan. He played 1 at Kansas State. He's never been to the NCAA tournament. Like, that's kind of the elephant in the room. You got to acknowledge that, right? Like, you know, not saying that that is something that should always be held against every player who's never made the NCAA tournament, but it is something to at least note.
I think that's more than fair. Like, you know, I guess the way I would say it is, like, I think it's fair to say, like, in hindsight, I was always lower on David Jones than everyone else was, because right. I felt like there were many, many examples of him not leading to winning. At least I feel like with those two programs that we've just mentioned, all right, well, Michigan was falling apart, and I don't think it was necessarily just his fault. And then Kansas State last year, it feels like they had just like a dangerous Molotov cocktail and it fell apart. Now, does it seem like he's the primary target? No, but I do think as you said, it's fair to note these aren't like it's like he was on these two teams. Like, you can't ignore it. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Now, at the same time, like, all that's true, but at the same time, he's been very productive pretty much from his sophomore season on. He averaged almost 17 points a game as a sophomore at Michigan. That was the same season they played Memphis down in the Bahamas at the Battle for Atlantis. And he averaged, I think, like 11.5 points a game or something like that last season at K-State. He didn't shoot the ball very well last year. I think it was like 27%, maybe 25%, something like that from three. The year before that, though, he was really good at Michigan. He shot like 36 or 38% from three. So, like, the talent is there. The one thing that hasn't really ever, been in the one thing that has been very consistent throughout his entire career has been his assist numbers and his steal numbers. He's very disruptive on defense, and he he's been in college basketball three seasons, and he's played, you know, in some super competitive games. He's been in two really competitive conferences, and he's averaged right at 5 assists per game for his entire career. That's pretty good. And he's going, you know, he's moving to the American Conference now. So, like, one would assume that number may be even better. And his scoring numbers might be even better as well. So, yeah, I think you know what you're getting, but the jury's still out on whether or not he can impact winning. Can he be the guy? Can he be the guy to put the team on his back and carry him to where they want to go?
In your mind, is that, you think, what they're going to be asking him to do? Is, like, is he filling the role that PJ's leaving?
I don't know. I think he's probably going to be leaned on more to be the Tyrese Hunter type, and not just because they play the same position, but just they're kind of the same type of player. I mean, you know, Tyrese had some inconsistency issues. Like, the word that everybody kept using when talking about Tyrese Hunter last offseason was streaky, that he was a very, very streaky player. And yet he comes into Memphis and averages, I mean, he has a first team all conference season. He carried Memphis for stretches of the season.
In Maui, I think he was their best player.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, starting first and foremost with the Maui Invitational. And, and of course he got hurt, and who knows what would have happened if that had not come to pass. But, I look at him more as, because I think they still got some pieces to add. I don't look at Doug the same way I think Memphis viewed PJ Haggerty last season in the same, just give him the ball and get out of his way. I don't think that it's quite that. I think it's a little more apples and oranges there, but at the same time, I do think Memphis is going to be his team. I'll just say it. I think unless something drastic changes, I think it will be Doug's team from day one.
So you, if you had to call it today, you think he'll be the most talented guy on the team next year?
That is a good question, because Sincere Parker, man, like, he's not getting a lot.
I always just wondered with Sincere, though, it's like, how much of last year was talent versus health?
Yeah, well, I mean, last year wasn't even his best year in college. 2 years ago, well,
what I'm saying, yeah, what I'm saying is, like, I don't know. I felt like when I watched him this year towards the end of the year, I was like, man, that guy looks like he's had multiple knee problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the same time, though, that might have simply just been, you know, something that you can, you know, like something isolated. I don't know that.
Sure.
I have not heard that. I have not heard anybody expressing any concerns about his physical situation. Everything I've heard has been very, very positive. I actually have a story coming out at commercialappeal.com in the morning. I have spent the last couple of weeks going around and talking to various assistant coaches and head coaches from the conferences that these players came from, and getting their take and their scouting reports on these different players. And one of the assistants that I talked to from the Southland, you know, just raved about Sincere Parker's athleticism and his ability to be a like elite microwave type scorer. He 2 years ago at St. Louis, he scored 30 plus in three consecutive games. And in two of those games, he scored 30 plus in fewer than 30 minutes. So, you know, I really think Sincere Parker can be, if everything goes right, I think he can be a go-to type guy. I don't want to say that about Julius Thedford just yet. Like, even though I am very, very high on Julius Thedford, the freshman who played at Western Kentucky last season, who's from Memphis, he is just a freshman and he only played 18 games in conference in at Western Kentucky last year. Now, he played against Michigan, he played against Mississippi State, he played against Kentucky, and he played really well against those teams. Or he put up good numbers against those teams, I should say. But I really like Sincere Parker. I like Doug McDaniel. I think the jury's still out on Aaron Bradshaw.
Are all these guys getting here in June? I mean, I know, like, how much, I guess, do we know about when guys will show up? Because that seems to me to be quite the question for everyone, because no one knows exactly where anyone stands on an eligibility clock. Does that even matter? I mean, do we have an idea of when we'll see these guys here in Memphis?
So I wrote about this last week. I talked to Doug after he committed, and he was a really, really good interview. And one of the things I asked him,
that's encouraged for the next like 10 months of your life.
For sure. For sure. I tell you this, so far of the off season, best interview of the bunch is Duncan Powell, who unfortunately is going to Providence. Unfortunately for me and the rest of us in the media, because I talked to him for 30 minutes before he came on his visit to Memphis. And it was probably one of the best interviews that I've done since I've been at Memphis. And so I was very, very upset. Not upset. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I was bummed. I was bummed out when he, first he committed to Georgetown, then he decommitted, and then he committed to Providence. So I am envious of Providence media because of Duncan Powell, but Doug McDaniel was also a really, really good interview. And I asked him when he's planning to be here. And I was like, are you going to be here in June for when summer workouts start? And he goes, actually, me and Zach Davis have been talking about coming sooner. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, we're trying to get things going as soon as possible. And so it sounds like they're going to, you know, do everything they can, at least those two. And he said, we're going to try to get some others, you know, the rest of them to come early. But if that's the case, then I think that bodes well for Memphis.
All right. Then lastly, was it last Wednesday that Penny talked? My days are running together. He did speak last week, correct?
He did. Last Tuesday, okay. I think.
I know it's been over a week, but did you have any big picture takeaways from what Penny had said?
Not really. I mean, you know, we talked to him a lot about just the state of NIL and the state of the sport right now and how crazy the numbers are getting. And he really did not shy away from that one bit. He was like, they're crazy. They're out of hand. He was like, whatever you want to say, that's what they are. It's, you know, I mean, like he didn't say it, but it is bordering on the ridiculous, these numbers. But I will say the one thing that I wanted to ask him that I actually did get a chance to ask him, because he was talking about, somebody had asked him about PJ Haggerty and if the door was still open, and Penny was like, yeah, we're still talking. We're still in good communication, and he did not shut the door on us. He wants to give the NBA draft waters a go and see how that goes. And then he'll, you know, go from there, depending on what happens. But he, you know, as far as he's told us, he has not shut the door on us. And I wanted to ask Penny, you know, I went into that interview wanting to ask Penny, like, have you shut the door on him though?
Yeah.
You know, I thought was a fair, you know, question. Like if you're Penny Hardaway and, you know, things go a certain direction, do you turn your back on the situation? And he said, no, he said he has not shut the door on PJ Haggerty. And, yeah, I mean, I think depending on how things go the next month or 2 months or however long this lasts, I think that'll be something that we need to remember.
So we still, PJ's still not committed anywhere, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Is this weird yet?
Weird? I mean,
I guess I'd ask it this way. Was I just misguided? Like, I figured it would have been done by now, and it's not. Was that just a mistake on my part, or is that a misunderstanding of what the process for PJ? Like, was I just wrong that how PJ is approaching this, or what, did I just misread it in that thinking like, okay, well, PJ will just have something done by now?
I think if you misread anything, it was the fact that, you know, a lot of the stuff that was said last week, I believe, is very accurate. The stuff about, you know, PJ and his camp wanting at least $4 million to play wherever they're going to play next season. And not only do they want that much money, they want that much money for playing point guard the majority of the time. That's what's been reported as one of their sort of, you know, demands, for lack of a better term, is they PJ wants to play the majority of his time, and if he plays college basketball next season, he wants to play the majority of his season at point guard. And like, I'm sorry. You know, PJ was a second team All American this past season, but he was not a consensus second team All American at point guard. And I just don't know many teams, many programs in late April who have $4 million sitting around to pay somebody to play, to pay
for an experiment.
Second team. Yeah. To pay a consensus second team All American to play a position that they haven't played in college yet. I mean, he did play some point guard, don't get me wrong, but he turned the ball over a lot when he played point guard. And I know he played a lot of point guard at Tulsa 2 years ago, but that didn't exactly go very well either. We shall see. I think that PJ and his camp kind of got things a little bit ahead of the cart. But I mean, that's not to say that they're not going to eventually get what they want. They might. It's just going to take a little while longer than I think a lot of people thought.
Just a slower process.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.